want to start, we want to continue, on teaching on Passover. And without being redundant and covering all the awesome things that we covered in the last couple of lessons, we're just going to go straight to where we left off in the last lesson, and that is, we mentioned one of our traditions is we call Good Friday the day that the Lord was crucified, and then we make Sunday the day of the resurrection. So the purpose of this lesson is to show the absolute accuracy of the Scripture. And of course, we understand that there's no way that you can be crucified on Friday and be in the ground Friday night and Saturday night and call that three nights in the grave. So what we want to do is walk through these scriptures. You may find it really boring. Those of you that are going to be listening to the podcast, you can stop. There'll be a lot of scriptures, I'm sure. So we're going to act like right now. Here's my theory. Christ was crucified on a Thursday. And so you say, well, how can you make a statement like that? And it doesn't matter if he was or wasn't. I'm just giving you what I believe will help you see the scriptures to fit. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which therefore you can help people to rightly divide the word of truth. So we're going to begin this 3 days. And the main thing you must continually remind yourself as we walk through this is that God's day, the biblical day, starts in the evening. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. So for essence of simplicity, if you would subscribe to a Hebrew calendar, it will have what we call candle lighting times. And the evening begins at different times every day because it's predicated upon actual sundown. But for simplistic reasons, here's the rule of thumb that most of us use. God's day starts at 6 in the evening until 6 in the evening. So the thing that you've got to remember as we walk through this is the fact that God's day starts evening, night, morning, day. We have a day in our American teaching of morning, afternoon, evening, night. Morning's the next day. And with that thought process, I don't think you'd... Well, I know you won't. You can never understand fully how this 3 days works. So let's see if we can express and explain it. So we're going to look, and we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to pick a few verses out of verses 17 through 66 with the thought process that this is Thursday evening, Nisan the 14th. Now, if it's Thursday evening, what's that mean? It means it is the beginning of the 14th of Nisan. Whereas if you read this with an American mind, then you think that he's going to go to sleep and the next day is going to be a new day. But that's not true. He's going to wake up to the same day because God's timing starts in the evening. So when we look at Matthew chapter 26, he says, "Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus." Now, we found out that any time we refer to unleavened bread or Passover, it's the same feast. We got this through the writings of Josephus as well, that the historian that lived not long after Jesus' day. And the disciples said, "Where will we that thou prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And Jesus says, "Go into a city to such a man and say unto him, Master, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus appointed them, and they made ready Passover. And now when the evening was come," so notice the evening, "he sat down with the 12. Remember, evening begins God's day. It's the 14th of Nisan. "And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." I'm going to jump on down to the scriptures. Verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for them, saying, Drink all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now I'm very congested and I've had the flu, so forgive the sound of my voice. I want you to notice there that once again, it is Passover, which is the meal that is taken once a year that Paul refers to now as often as we do it. We do it in remembrance of the Passover lamb that took away the sin of the world, which was Jesus. And many people take Passover, which we've changed to communion, every Sunday. And that's great, just as often as you do this. If you only do it one time a year, the season of Passover, you haven't broken the scriptures. Smith Wigglesworth, for those of you that knew who he was, it is rumored, according to his diaries, he took communion every day. Just as often as you do this. But if we stay to the biblical pattern, it's a one-time year event, and this is why it is such an awesome thing to understand Passover. So now it's Thursday night. Now then, we're going to move from the evening to the night. It's now Thursday night, Nisan the 14th. And then Jesus said unto them, "And ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm risen again, I will go forth before you into Galilee." And Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of you, yet I will never be offended." And Jesus said unto him, so it's nighttime now. The evening's past, it's night. "Verily I say unto you that this night, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." Well, when's the cock going to crow? Right at sundown, at sun up in the morning. Remember, when we get up in the morning, we've been through the evening and the night, it's the 14th, and all day tomorrow is going to be the 14th of Nisan, which is going to be the day they slay the lamb in the temple courtyard. "Then came Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and he said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed and said, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. And he found his disciples asleep. And he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so this is the story that we're walking through. And we come to verse number 47. "And while he was yet speaking, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. So now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold fast." And as we know the story where Peter cuts off the high priest's servant's ear, and Jesus in verse 55. So here we are, it's nighttime, they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's been praying all night. And here we are in the middle of the night, in that same hour, says Jesus to the multitudes, "You've come out as one that's a thief, but all this was done," verse 56, "that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled, and they that had led hold on Jesus led him to Caiaphas' house, the high priest." For those of you that have never been there, it's just a great rifle shot, sniper shot. It's less than 1,000 meters from the Garden of Gethsemane to Caiaphas' house. It's less distance than that from Caiaphas' house to the praetorium, or to where he will take him before Pontius Pilate. So as you envision these things, you realize that the time frame for these things to happen is not long at all, especially for people that walk all the time. To cover 800 meters is no big deal to get Jesus, even though it's a steep valley as they come through the Kidron up to Caiaphas' house. So here it is, nighttime, and they take him to Caiaphas' house, verse 62, "And the high priest arose and questions him, and Jesus holds his peace. And Jesus says unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds. And the high priest rent his clothes and saying, he has spoken blasphemy. And they said, he's guilty of death." Now, we're going to jump from there to Mark chapter 14, verse 64 through 72, and take up the story where exactly the high priest rents his clothes in Matthew verse 65. We're going to take up that story in Mark chapter 14, verse 63. "Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witness? And some began to spit on him and cover his face." Now I'm jumping forward in the scriptures, but I'm in that scriptural reference I'm giving you. And Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand what you say." And as he went out into the porch, the cock crew. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied him again. And a little after that, they stood and said to Peter, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean. Your speech agreeth thereto." So he begins to curse and to swear. Now, to curse and to swear back then means that he actually was taking the name of the Lord in vain. It's not what you think you've been taught cursing. He wasn't saying some four-letter words. That's not cursing in the Bible. And the second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crew twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." When he thought thereon, he wept. So now it is according to Scripture, we have covered from evening through nighttime to morning of what I am saying is Thursday, but it is Nisan the 14th. So now that we're entering into the daytime of the day, Thursday, we're going to see where it's time for them to crucify the lamb. Excuse me, not crucify, but to kill the Passover lamb that afternoon. They will bind it to the altar at the third hour, which is 9 a.m., and they will slay it at the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. So now in Mark chapter 15, and straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders, scribes, and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him and said, "Thou sayest." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, and he answers nothing. So let's skip on down. So what I'm wanting us to see is that we now see where it is morning time. They've gone to Pilate immediately early that morning, which is just not a far walk. They're not changing towns. They're just walking from this little neighborhood a few streets over to Pilate's house, and that's all they're doing. It's not taking any process or length of time. And so what we see now is that it is early Thursday morning, and what they're going to do is they scourge him. The soldiers lead him away into the hall, and they clothe him with purple, and they smote him with the reeds, and when they mocked him, they took off the purple, and they compel one, Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by to bear the cross, and they bring him to the place called Golgotha, just another 500 meters. So they're not going long distances. All this can be done very easily in a matter of these walks of a few minutes, a very few minutes, which is interpreted the place of the skull. And they give him to drink wine, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. So here we are, it's 9 a.m., it's Nisan the 14th, in my estimation, Thursday morning. And he is now nailed to the cross at the same time in the temple that the high priest ties the Passover lamb to the altar. And of course, it goes on, and they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand, the other on his left. And they that passed by railed on him and say, "Save thyself." And others said, "Well, himself he can't even save." And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So it is now 3 p.m. So the ninth hour is 3 p.m. It starts from 6, the third hour is 9. So the ninth hour from 6 a.m. in the morning is 3 p.m. So it is now 3 p.m. Thursday afternoon, Nisan the 14th. So what's that mean? Well, that means that the sun is starting its declination. It's going to begin to go down. So we are about to enter into an evening. And when the evening comes, wow, Friday the 15th of Nisan is going to start. So at the ninth hour, Jesus cries with a loud voice and he gives up the ghost. And what we see is that when he gives up the ghost, that means that Jesus dies on the time the Passover lamb dies, which is at 3 p.m. on Nisan the 14th. So now then that he has died, what happens? Well, it's only 3 p.m. So we have about 3 hours, maybe a little more, until Friday the 15th of Nisan begins. So now we're going to look at the story that transpires in the evening, the time between 3 p.m. and the time that the 15th, Friday the 15th, begins. And now when the evening has come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. Now this has caused many a little problem. But when you understand that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a high Sabbaton, And therefore, if they are hurrying to get Jesus into the ground before they start the Feast of Unleavened Bread, before that hour comes where they're not to do any labor. Also, God in His infinite wisdom knew that He had to do this on what I believe is a Thursday. Some believe Wednesday, and American tradition is Friday. Because He knew that if He had done this at any other time, well, the women are immediately going to go to check on the tomb. But they can't, because now we've got Friday as a high Sabbath. And what happens Friday night? Friday night at sundown, the other Sabbath begins. So now they can't go to the tomb for Friday or Saturday because they are following Levitical rules, and therefore they're not going to be able to go to the tomb until Sunday morning, Nisan the 17th, the first day of the week, which is Sunday. So when the evening was come, so we're just walking through the story. Let me jump on down so I can get through this in this one lesson. And this man went to Pilate, and he begged the body of Jesus. I'm now in Luke 23, verses 52 through 56. And he took it down, and he wrapped it in linen. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And so this, once again, is referring to not the preparation of Jesus' body, but the preparation where they had to be ready for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. Now, they've got him in the tomb. Nighttime has come, which means a new day has dawned. It is now Friday, Nisan the 15th. Jesus died Thursday during the day of Nisan the 14th. And let's walk through the prophecy. So now then he's going to lay in the tomb. Friday night, Nisan the 15th, night one. He lays in the tomb Friday during the day of Nisan the 15th, day one. He lays in the tomb Saturday night, Nisan the 16th. There's no scripture during this time either that's given. He lays in the tomb Saturday, Nisan the 16th, that night. And then he lays in the tomb all day Saturday the 16th, Nisan the 16th, which is day two. He then lays in the tomb Sunday night, Nisan the 17th. Three nights. And that's what's confusing. Because in our American mind, we would see Sunday as you start Sunday morning, he's resurrected. And then Sunday night, he's not in the tomb because he's already resurrected. But in God's calendar, Sunday night had to come before Sunday morning. So if you'll stop the recording and back this up and listen to what I just said, you will see exactly that this fulfills the prophecy. Now, let's look at the prophecy. Alan, would you mind bringing me a half cup of coffee while you're back there? Thanks. Sunday morning, day three, Nisan the 17th is first fruits. Now then the scripture starts back in again. Are you ready? Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 9. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James bought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, Bible's very plain, the first day of the week, they came into the grave at the rising of the sun, and they said amongst themselves, "Who shall roll up the stone away from the door of the grave?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And they entered into the grave, and they saw a young man sitting there. Thank you very much. And they were affrighted, and he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples Peter that he goes before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him." So we are seeing the fulfillment of the scriptures here. And they went out quickly and fled. Verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast the seven devils. So when we walk through what we just walked through, we want to ask ourselves the question, will this scriptural timeline that we've just shared with you fulfill the words of Jesus? You know, we talk about, he said he gave him a sign of Jonah. And many people, let me rephrase that. I've always had trouble with a great fish, and later the Bible expresses us it was a whale, was prepared for Jonah, and it swallowed him. And I never understood how man lived inside a whale for 3 days and 3 nights. Some of you probably didn't have a problem with that. I had a little problem with that. But what we've got to understand is Jonah was dead. So all the whale was a tomb. So when the whale comes up to them, Jonah wasn't in there trying to, with the flashlight, looking for leftovers, fish, you know. My opinion, and in Judaistic history and the way they see it, he was dead. So he's coughed up on the land. Turns back on. Okay. So in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, we want to see if this will fulfill not what we've been taught, but what Jesus and the Word actually teaches us. We're going to look at the Scriptures real quickly. So we see now he was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. And people that get very technical say, oh, but that wasn't full 24-hour daylight. It had to have been on a Wednesday. Well, that won't work, and I won't get into why, but you can walk out the timeline and you'll see. So here's where we're at. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, from that time forth, now we're predating the story of the crucifixion to see the prophecy, to see if what we've just given you fulfills it. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests, and be killed, and be raised again, when? The third day. Matthew 17, verse 23, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. So far, we have total agreement in the amount of time that we see he laid in the tomb and when he's resurrected. Is this helping anybody? So, and walk through it, and you may come up with a different answer. This is just what I came up with, and I'm confident enough to share that it is my opinion. Matthew chapter 20, verse 19. And he shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Let's now go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Mark 10 and 34. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him, and he shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now, some of you will never need to go to this lengthy in-depth study. And there also is a teaching that Jesus was resurrected at night during Sunday night. I've got a lot of reasons why I don't believe that can be correct, but it certainly would go against what we're seeing here. I believe he was resurrected very early Sunday morning when it's considered daytime. Okay, Luke 9 and 22, because no offering could be offered at night. And they, even the offering of first fruits is what he's going to represent, would be cut off in the evening, but it couldn't be offered and weighed before the Father until the morning of Sunday, the first day of the week. All right, Luke 9 and 22, we're in the Gospel of Luke now, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised on the third day. So we see where our pattern, whether we have the days of the week right or not. Now, why and how would I come up with Thursday? Well, number one, I didn't come up with it. A lot of people have come up with it. If you read it on the internet, it must be true. No, I knew this before there was an internet. But my rabbis, my teachers, my instructors had a lot of disagreements. But a couple of them had some things that, scriptural references that were deeper than others. And when you walk through, there is emphatically clarity, emphatic, it's clear that he definitely was resurrected on the first day of the week. And if he has to be in the ground 3 nights, and then you understand the high Sabbath and the Sabbath and the way God had to do it, it all work out. And I think you'll find that this thing will satisfy any of your friends that say, well, how can Christianity be right when you can't even count? Crucified on Friday and resurrected Sunday morning, you call this 3 days in the tomb. All right. So Luke 13 and 32, and he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. And that's exactly what he did. He raised in his glorified body. He was perfected. Luke 18 and 33, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Luke 24 and 21 through 23. Now this to me is very helpful. But we trusted, Luke 24, 21 through 23, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the grave, and they found not his body. They came saying that they had also seen the visions of angels, which said he was alive. So what we see here is, whenever we look at this, we see that today is the third day. They go to the tomb. That's all I'm trying to point out. So it perfectly fits our pattern. Luke 24:7. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Acts 10:40. And God raised him up the third day and showed him openly. 1 Corinthians 15:4. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. So what we're seeing is that we can actually follow, and what I think some of you will begin to enjoy to do in your Bible studies, you can get you out a calendar, so to speak. And now with the little bit of knowledge that I've been able to share with you just over this, you can actually begin to back up and start. What you'll have fun doing is reading through the Gospels and figuring out how many days and what were the days and so on and so forth. You get even to the Gospel of John, you're going to find out it might cover 33 days of the life of Christ. We have so just few days covered of the life of Christ. And most of the time when he's speaking, it's only because he's fulfilling a feast and he's in Jerusalem, except when he's being in the Galilee doing the healings and things. And of course, I know we have the Sermon on the Mount and all that, but most of his speaking, we're going to find out it only covers, I'm talking about actual days of Christ's life, a very few number of the 3.5 years of his ministry. So why did God, who we have been finding out through the Mu'eds, the feasts of the Lord, the appointments of God, why, having he created heaven and earth in 6 days and rests on the Sabbath, the seventh day, why in God's name was he resurrected on Sunday? Leviticus chapter 23, verses 5 through 7. And then we'll read verse 11. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 5 through 7, verse 11. So what we see is that God, who gave us the appointment calendar, he gave us the end from the beginning to prove that he's God. He is born on tabernacles. He fulfills that appointment for the first coming. Then he is crucified at Passover, when the Passover lamb is going to be slain, which he had already given us Nisan the 14th. He actually not only told us when he'd be born, where he'd be born, but when he'd die. But then the next appointment in Leviticus 23 after Passover is unleavened bread, where they wrap the center loaf in white linen and it's hidden away until the end of the meal. Jesus is crucified between two thieves. He's the center loaf. He is buried at the preparation for unleavened bread. He's wrapped in white linen. But now the next feast that God gives us is something called first fruits. And we know that Jesus was the first fruits of all them who slept, all them that were in the grave. No man had ascended to the Father until this time. Now, I won't get into Elijah and Enoch. So what we see is Leviticus 23, verse 5 through 7 and 11. I'm going to read it. And we're going back to the Old Testament now, and we're pointing out to try to answer the question, is there relevance as to why God had him resurrected on a Sunday, which is the first day of the week? Now, I need to also express that in God's time frame, time is not linear, which is like a line that starts at zero and goes to infinity. In God's timetable, where he's taking you, it's a circle. That's why that first miracle was done at the city of Canaan. It was where he turns the water into wine. And so what we see is when we take the 7 days and we go to the first day, we're now into the eighth day. And the eighth day is the day that you circumcise every male child from the flesh to throw away the filth of the flesh. It is a typology of born again or glorified body in covenant with God. And the reason for the circumcision of a male portion of the body is because that is where the seed comes through, and the seed is what we are in covenant with. A little deep, hang on to it. And so what we see is we see that so God in his infinite wisdom is going to give us also the timing of his resurrection. He's going to give us an appointment 1,500 years earlier. And here it is. So Leviticus chapter 23, here's the first feast he fulfills. In the 14th day of the first month at Eden is the Lord's Passover. And the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we see where Jesus is crucified and he's buried. Now watch. And in the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Oh, I can't go to the grave today. I've got to get him in the ground because it's a high Sabbath. First day, I can't do any work. Then I can't go tomorrow because it's Saturday is the Sabbath. Now watch. And in the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. And you shall wave the sheave before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. When's the Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath is the seventh day. It's Saturday. And the next feast that we're given after Passover and unleavened bread is first fruits. Always called that. And that first fruits was a prefigurement of exactly what Christ would be. He is the one way before the Lord, and it could only be done the first day of the week following Passover, which regardless of what day Passover falls on, listen to how perfectly this is all aligned that we can catch this, which means that in order for them, it didn't matter what day Passover, does not matter what day Passover falls on. Now, it always falls on God's calendar, in the Hebrew calendar, it will always be Nisan the 14th. That'll never change. However, Nisan the 14th may be Tuesday in a couple of years. It may be Thursday in a couple of years. It may be Wednesday. So when you look at he that put the heavens in order, he that set the stars in the sky, he that had to make this calendar so perfectly aligned, that whenever he had already prophesied that he would be raised the third day, he had to have everything in such fine adjustment and such fine tuning in the heavenlies and according to the calendar, that the only way he could be in the ground three nights and resurrected on the same morning of first fruits, do you see what I'm saying? Is Passover had to fall at a certain day of the week. Otherwise, it would never work for him to be resurrected and in the ground 3 days. Do you see that? So as we grow in God and we grow in the knowledge of his word, we grow in faith. And what happens is, as we grow in the knowledge of word and we grow in faith, then our lives blossom. One of the things that we really try to express that we do at Huffman Church is the last thing we want you to do is follow me. I was about that when I was young in the Lord. I needed a following. But if I teach you to follow me, I've done you a great injustice. Because a mature man of God will teach you to follow Jesus Christ. And when hard times come and you might not get to a church, it won't matter. Because you have a church. You are the temple of the living God. And you have learned how to put his word together. How to allow. Now, we're not going to forsake the assembling together. But there's one head. And when we see the glory and the beauty of the mind of Christ, and we begin to do, and I'll share in the service this morning, just a little 10-minute service before our picnics on the grounds, the majesty and the plan of God and what he has done for us. You realize that God has given us a kingdom, and he's appointed us to a position, and it is a position of power, it is a position of possibilities. And with faith, nothing shall be impossible to those that believe. I hope something said here makes sense. So we now see he is resurrected at the Feast of First Fruits, which always has to be a Sunday, and we'll start the next lesson with First Fruits.